Christ, the one that you take delight in? Is he your hope and your salvation and your all? Well, he is to us all, whether we call upon him or not. That's the only hope that we have. It's the only salvation that we have. He's the only one that you're going to be able to find any delight in.
Amen.
I want to try to touch upon the thought. No doubt you've heard it before. Thinking about the meeting in Monarch, Sister Bonnie made a statement to the assembly there during one of the services and expressed that in so many words, if anyone was there who has found themselves bound up, couldn't praise the Lord like maybe they felt like they ought to be able to, any other kind of problems, she told them, tonight is your night to be free.
Yes.
Brother Ulysses said, Jesus Christ has come to set the captive free.
Yes, that's right.
Died to take away death's sting.
Yes.
His blood as a ransom he gave for thee. Yes. Then praise to him you ought to sing.
Yes. Right.
Well, his blood as a ransom he gave for all of us. Wherever we are in life, whatever our problems might be, he still came to set you and me free. And that's what we want to touch on just a little bit tonight. I want to start by reading in John, the 14th chapter, starting with the 22nd verse. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto my Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you, before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Thinking about here, wanting to start off on this premise that in reference to you and I and to all of the needs that we have as we go along in this pathway of life, it makes no difference where you and I are at this point in time. If we are not saved, this applies to you. If we are not where we ought to be and we are saved, it still applies to me and you. That he has come to a place and left an example, and he told us right here, the prince of the world cometh and hath nothing in me. And that establishes that Satan is defeated. You and I have in our own mind, what does it mean when somebody has been defeated? It means that they've been whipped. It means that they've been beaten. It means that they've been conquered. And Satan has been conquered for you and I, that we might be set free, that we might have that kind of peace that the sister talked about tonight. That kind of peace that he said, I leave with you and I give unto you. It's not as the world giveth, because the world does not give peace in the way that Christ does. All the world has their own way of looking at peace. And their definition of peace is something through strength and power to where you won't bother me as long as I'm sitting in a place of authority. But all at the same time, that peace that they try to maintain in this world today is based upon promises that they can't carry out. It's based upon deceptions many a time. But that's not what Christ has to bring to you and I tonight. He's given us a peace that will not deceive us, will not leave us, will not forsake us, will keep us in the trying times of life. And in those times where we find ourselves struggling as we go along in this pathway, yet deep down inside, we still have something that keeps us steady as we go. Oh, I think about those young people that sung the song, and sometimes Sister Belinda sings it, that part that says, the world may be raging, but I'm doing fine. Yeah. You and I, as we go along in this pathway of life, can sometimes get cumbered up with a lot of things that we meet along the way. And it looks like that maybe the devil is getting the best of us, but he's still yet defeated. And you and I need to hold on to that as we go along. Oh, as I thought about it, when you read about the crucifixion and you think a little more about what might have been going on behind the scenes, a little more than what's there just contained by the written letter, you begin to think that all through the time that Christ was here upon the earth, I'm persuaded that the devil did all he could to try to find some kind of way to get him to stumble. He did all he could to try to tempt him in such a way to get him to fall in his mission that he came here to accomplish. But yet in all of that, he said, the prince of this world cometh, and he had nothing in me. He couldn't find anything in Christ that would line up with anything that he wanted to use to try to pull him down along the way. You and I, as we confront this foe, he's a defeated foe. Oh, in Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, he gave us something else to hold on to. Many times we can get off in our trials and tests, and our trials and tests have a way of making us feel like I'm all by myself. And sometimes we are. But in the midst of those trials and tests, when it seems like nobody can really help us, can't really seem to reach down and comfort us and find the words that are necessary to bring that solace there, he yet gave us something else to think about when we consider this Christ who has conquered all. Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, starting with the 14th verse. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. This Christ has conquered all things. You and I remember once when I was in high school, I was sitting there in the chemistry class, and a young man sitting in front of me, and he got to talking about Christ, and he said, if I'd have been back there, and if I'd have seen all of those things, maybe I would have believed. And when I think about Christ, well, he was playing with a stacked deck, he said, and he was God, and he couldn't do these things. But here it says that he was tempted like you and I,
It said that he took on the form of flesh like you and I. He chose to be made like his brethren. That's you and I. And he did it so that he could comfort us and help us along the way. And when you and I get in a place where we feel like nobody knows the trouble I see, nobody knows my sorrow, and yet we can turn and recognize that this Christ who came to set us free is able to feel what you and I feel through the infirmities of the flesh, is able to understand what it means to be tempted as we go along the way, but he's also able to understand what it means to go through those things and come through it victorious, and he's able to encourage us and let us know that the victory is still yours if you'll only hold to me as we go along this pathway of life. Oh, as we think about it, this Christ was able to do that which is needed. Man would have been left in a pretty precarious place had it been, as so many people like to look upon it. But when you and I think about it, wherever we are in life, whatever it might be that seems to have us bound up along the way, Jesus came to set the captive free. Oh, in Matthew, the 27th chapter, starting with the 38th verse. Someone might read for us, please. We consider here him being crucified. And I thought about those people and what all they did. Let's take a look at it as we go along the way. Matthew 27. Want to look at verses 38 on down through verse 50.
Then were there two thieves crucified with him.
All right.
One on the right hand and another on the left.
On the left.
And they that passed by reviled him. Mm-hmm.
Thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross.
Likewise, also the chief priests,
marking him,
scribes and elders said,
he saved others, himself cannot save.
If he be the King of Israel,
if he be the King,
let him now come down from the cross.
All right,
and we will believe him. He trusted in God.
Let him deliver him now. Yes.
The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same
in his teeth.
Now from the sixth hour of darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour,
Jesus cried with a loud voice,
saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say,
my God,
my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said,
this man called
for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with vinegar, and put it on a reed, and gave him to drink. The rest said, let be, let us see whether Elias will come to
yes.
Him. Jesus, when he had cried again,
a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. When I look here,
yes, Lord.
And it shows the picture of the people mocking Christ. He's supposed to be a Savior, but he can't save himself. He said he's the Son of God. Let God deliver him if God will have him, if God will favor him. And I thought about that once and considered it wasn't just the people there mocking Christ. The devil and all his imps, spirits, was there helping to provoke all of that.
Yes.
He wasn't just enduring the humiliation of man that he created, but he was dealing with all of the host of hell.
Yes.
And all of them provoking and pushing the people and them scorning him and spitting upon him and walking around lollygagging. And I thought about how you and I feel sometimes when we find ourselves in that place where we're being ridiculed and there's nobody else there to stand with us and we're all alone. And he was that way and much more so. And I thought too about how a brother told me one time he was struggling with some trials and tests. And he said, you know, I
know God has all power, and I know that it is all in His hand. But He says sometimes when I'm looking on it, it makes Him begin to think in His own human wisdom. And He said, it looks like God lost that round. Did this look like that? God lost. This is supposed to be the Messiah. This is supposed to be someone we thought was going to come and set us free. Well, he said in that 50th verse, he cried again with a loud voice and yielded up the ghost. In the 19th chapter of John, in the 30th verse, the writer said that when he cried with that loud voice, he said, it is finished. And I thought about that, and as was brought out today, and others have expressed that when he hung upon the cross, and when he died, and when it looked like that he had lost that round, and when it looked like the devil was victorious, yet he cried out with a loud voice, and he said, it is finished! You and I, as we go along in this pathway of life, He's brought forth a salvation that is complete. It is whole. Everything that you and I stand in need of is in that plan. Every grace that we need to give us victory along the pathway of life, it is in that plan. Everything that we need to give us wisdom and understanding, it's in that plan. It was finished. He dotted every I. He crossed every T. He did all that was needed to be done. Oh, as we go along this pathway of life, some people have said, you can follow this way, but that's the way of the crutch. No, not so. You follow this way, you're going to have some strength. Some say, you follow that way, you're going to be weak, and you're going to have to let people ride over you. You know it takes some strength to let somebody ride over you. It takes something when people are sitting there like they told me one time. I wouldn't take that if I was you. They couldn't do that to me and get by. Somebody else said, you ought to say something about that. Well, what am I supposed to say? Oh, well, just let it go. No, don't say that. Well, what should I say? Well, then they told me, expletive, expletive, expletive. Say something like that. No, I can't say that. That's not in me. You and I can go on because He's got what we need to set us free. And He's got that which we need to keep us in that way. This plan, when He said it was finished, He put it all in there. And not only that, He sealed it with His blood. It's still there today. It's just as strong today as it was when He said it is finished. It has not diminished. And He can set you and I free. Too many times, sister said, you know what it means to be free from yourself. She said, y'all don't know. But oh yes, sister, we do know a little bit about being set free from ourselves. We may not know as much as you, but He's given us a taste of it as we've gone along the way. And you and I can meet a lot of things, and He'll still yet keep us free. Oh, as we look upon it, I thought too about the scripture over there, Revelation, the first chapter, reading verses 11 through 18. He said something there that gave me a little picture in my little feeble mind. He started off there saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Yes. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. Yes. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Yes. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, amen, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shining in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. I thought about it. May have looked like that he lost that round when he was up on the cross. But now we see what it's really all about. When he described him there, and he said that he had hair in his countenance, white as the sun in his full strength. Have you looked out in the sun in a clear, bright day, and you stepped out of the building and went outside and couldn't hardly look out because of the brightness? And then consider this man who hung upon the cross in all that humiliation, in all of that suffering, in all of that shame. Now he's not looking like that anymore. He's standing there, as he said, with feet and breath, and denoted to them a most durable and stable metal. Standing there, sure-footed, flat-footed, with that same salvation that is finished, totally complete. And he went on and said, I've got the keys to hell. Oh, as we look upon it, I thought about it in this life, in my own feeble mind, that at that time, no doubt, when they put his broken body, his spear in his side, hands nail scarred and so forth, when they put him in the grave, I thought about, no doubt, there were those people that said, we got rid of him. Oh, we've got it all now. We'll have the people coming back unto us and listening to us. And I thought, too, that down in that other world, no doubt, some of those imps and devils was jumping around with glee, saying, we finally got him. We destroyed him. We got the upper hand now. But all there came a time when it seemed like to me that as they were in their glee and in their joy, and you know how parents can be. They can be talking, and the kids can be playing, and they'll hear somebody cry, and you hear the ear turn, and they hear, and they say, that sounds like my child. And I thought about in that picture, it seemed to me that while they were maybe no doubt seemingly rejoicing, thinking we got a hold of this Christ, and we destroyed the Son of God, then they heard something. And the devil turned, and he said, what is that? And somebody said, what he's talking about? And he heard it again, and he said, those are my keys. And they said, where's my keys? But then here came Christ, walking on up, and he had the keys of hell and the grave, and he went on. And you know how it is, when you know you've got something, you don't have to say a whole lot. Oh, you know, my little baby girl, you can take something from her, and she'll say, mine! And that's all she can do. And you just look at her, and you don't have to say anything. She knows she can't get it, and you know she can't either. And you just go on and put it up. I could just see the devil sitting there. I had the power of death, but now my keys are gone. They were mine. And Christ didn't have to say a thing. He just come on out of the grave, and he had the keys of hell and death with him. Oh, he's got the keys. And with that, he can set you and I free. Oh, everything about death is encompassed in sin. That's why we have some of the problems you see in the world today. But all Jesus has still got the keys. You and I, when we go along in this pathway of life and we find ourselves kind of bound up, Jesus has got the keys. Oh, it says he had the keys to hell. That meant the keys to Hades, to the place of the disembodied souls. He could give out life and he could give out misery. And he has those keys to set you and I free. Oh, when you and I call upon him, he said, child, I got the keys. I'll let you out. I'll give you victory. All in those places, you and I may feel like, Lord, I'm not worthy except to die. But I got the keys to life, and I can set you free. He can open, and no man can shut. He can shut, and no man can open. And he let us know that he came to set the captive free. I don't know how to explain it. As I said, it's just a little thought in my feeble mind. But I could just see him walking out in all his majesty, in all his dignity. He didn't have to sneak out. He didn't have to creep out. He just walked out, and he had the keys. And they all had to just look and watch got him gone. Oh, as I think about it, the writer said, it is finished. I thought about what he said. There's a line that's been drawn through the ages for the soul, for the gain of men's soul or his lot. On one side march the forces of evil, all the demons and all the devils of hell. On the other, the angels of glory, and they meet on Golgotha's hill. The earth shakes with the force of the conflict, and the sun refuses to shine. There hang God's Son in the balance, and then through the darkness he cried, it is finished! The battle is over. It is finished! There'll be no more war. It is finished. The end of the conflict. It is finished. And Jesus is Lord. The writer said over there in Revelation that he was riding on a white horse. And it said he had his name embroidered in his vesture. And it was written there upon his thigh. And it said, King of kings and Lord of lords. Oh, he's got it today. He has finished it all and completed it. And then the writer went on to say, yet in my heart the battle was raging. Not all prisoners of war had come home. These were battles of my own making. I didn't know that the war had been won. Then I heard that the King of the ages had fought all my battles for me, and victory was mine for the claiming. And now, praise his name, I am free. Oh, as you go along in this pathway of life, you and I are going to have some battles. And sometimes they're of our own making, for we got ourselves into some things. But nevertheless, we can still yet tap in to God's mighty power. We can still yet be free and go on as we go along this pathway of life. Oh, I thought too about the songwriter. He said, Mary came unto the tomb of Jesus. Oh, the stones moved. The Lord had gone away. The angel said, fear not, I know whom seek ye. Oh, she went on, he said, this she heard him say, gone the stone is rolled back. Gone, the tomb is empty. Gone to sit at his Father's side. Gone over death triumphant. God's sin is defeated. God, he lives forevermore. But then I think sometimes when I read about that, where the angel came and he rolled away the stone, it said he sat on it. And that's the part that I like. Jesus came to set the captive free. And when you and I get a hold of God and he gives us the victory, we can roll back some stones and sit on top of them. Oh, you and I, as we go along this pathway of life, the writer said, Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Oh, as we look here, this was Christ's office. The prophet prophesied long ago. This is what Christ is coming to do. He's going to preach good tidings unto the meek. Those that will accept it. Those that will recognize, I'm in need of what this Jesus has. I'm in need of some deliverance. I'm bound up in this prison and somebody needs to let me out. When they come along down that pathway and they humble themselves, here comes the good tidings. I've got the keys and I can set you free. Oh, as he looked here, he said, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Many people have gone on in this world downhearted, brokenhearted, feel like all hope is gone. There's nothing for me to live for. Christ came to bind you up and set you free. All as we look here to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Not only that, The writer said there in Ephesians that he that did descended is also him that ascended. But it mentioned there that he was going to give gifts. And one of the things about those people who went forth conquering and the conquered back in that time, when they overcame, they come through, had their victory parade, it seems like to me. And the conqueror would come along in his chariot. And those that he had conquered would be coming behind. So all could see what he had conquered. But not only that, he would come forth with the spoil of his victory and toss it out to the people. Says even those that fought against him, now they had acknowledged that he was the conqueror. He would even give them some of the spoil. You and I have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He gives us those things to help us as we go along the pathway of life. And he blesses us. Gives us the oil of joy instead of mourning. Gives us the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. Oh, as you look upon it, oh, I consider, as the sister said, she didn't know if we could take what they had in monarch again. But it looks to me like there's these places where things keep busting out. Yeah. Oh, as you look upon it, you go there, and it took on its theme, a life of its own. And I believe that it helps us to see, as some of the ministers, that when you let the Spirit loose, He'll work howsoever He will. And He don't have to have you and I standing up talking all the time. He's able to work in a way that He sees fit. It was an humbling experience to me to watch Him work in that way. No preaching. Didn't even have prayer requests. Alone when they said, the altar is open, it got filled. All people got up, said, I'm free. I'm not going to be bound anymore. What happened to them? Jesus came by with some keys, unloosed the prison, and let them out. But then you come here, and way on across the country, and I find the sister standing up, praising the Lord, walking about, had a holy walk, telling you all how she could, yes, tell you all, but now got God working in there, helping out along the way. You see another stand up and say, I got to shout and do a little running. Oh, that's what He gave them, the spirit of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness, because He came to set us free. Oh, as we look upon it, you and I can have that. And then He said here that they might be called trees of righteousness. Oh, I thought about just before we came, trying to get some work done real quick in the yard, and have a couple of trees that I had planted a few years ago, and I had one that I planted right after we moved into the house. And I got to noticing that these other two trees hadn't been here as long, but they're as tall, if not taller, than this other tree that's been here. And I got to comparing them, and you look at the trunk, and you say, well, they're about the same size, and it's really growing. You know, when I first planted it, the trunk on them two trees was probably about an inch in diameter. Now, when you look at them, you figure when the storm comes, those trees will be there. Unless a tornado come and just rip them right up. See, I've seen the winds come blowing through there, 60 and 70 and 80 and 100 miles an hour. And you look out the window and you watch them trees bend. But when the wind gone, they stand right back up. You know, He came to set us free. That He might plant us and we be trees of righteousness. And then when the storms do come and people figure that, well, I wonder what happened. And they come by and they see you still planted, standing straight up. They come by another time and they say, well, when I first saw that tree planted, it was just about an inch in diameter. Now I've come back and it's 6 inches in diameter. That's the kind of tree that He wants us to be. One that is still growing by the help of the Lord. One that is gaining as we go along the way. Let's turn to John 11th chapter. Someone might read for us verses 32 through 44. John 11, 32.
Then when Mary was come where Jesus was,
yes,
and saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying unto Him, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping,
yes,
and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, He groaned in His spirit and was troubled,
yes,
and said, where have you laid Him?
They said unto Him,
Lord, come and see. Yeah. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved
him. How he loved him.
And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?
Yes.
Jesus therefore again groaning in himself, coming to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said,
Take ye
away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead four days. Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto him, Loosen and let him go.
This Christ, Lazarus, had died, dead, buried. Been there for 4 days and stinking. But Jesus, when he saw the people weeping, he groaned.
He
was touched by the feelings of their infirmities. That same Jesus, when he hears you and I weeping, still groans. Still is touched by the feelings of our infirmities. But we see him taking the pain and the care to establish under them that God sent him. And he said, Lord, Father, I know you hear me. I know you always hear me. But I've got some here that I got to bring along. They're my sheep. And I want them to know that you hear me. And so he said it for their benefit, for their help, for their encouragement. And then he went there and said, Where have you laid him? And they said, Lord, come and see. This is where we put him, Lord. This is where we put him 4 days ago. And he said, Take away the stone.
Yeah.
Now, Martha spoke like you and I do.
Yeah.
But Lord.
Yeah.
But Lord. He's been dead. 4 days.
Yeah.
He stinks.
Yeah.
Why would you put us through that again? Why would you make us go through this again?
Yeah.
Why would you rip the scab off of the sore?
Yeah.
And he told her.
Yeah.
He had an answer for her. If thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Didn't I tell you that? He went on, and they rolled away the stone. And then he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth.
Yes, he did.
And Jesus said, Loose him and let him go. He came out bound up in all of them grave clothes. I don't know how they did it, but in my own feeble mind again, I picture him coming out, wrapped all up, napkin on his face. He couldn't get it off. And he just had to come out, you know, just getting off, come forth, can't see where he's going, but he's coming. And then Jesus told him, Loose him and let him go. He set free now. And you and I, as we go along in this pathway of life, can find ourselves Him then sometime, and it looked like we're not going anywhere. I remember one time Brother Mark Spinks came to Wichita, and he talked about staying on the blessing path. And he said that you and I need to keep running up the King's highway. And when we can't run, then let's walk and keep walking. But when we get to where we can't walk no more, let's get down and crawl. And he said, when the strength is gone and we can't crawl no more, then let's just lay there and keep going.
you know, just move your hands, do something there. Or as I think about it, you and I sometimes can get hemmed in where it looks like I can't run no more, I can't walk no more, I can't crawl no more, but I'm not going to give up. I'll just lay here and stay with God. Oh, but then, in that time, when he sees that it's the right time, he'll call your name. He'll call my name. And he'll say, come forth. Loose him and let him go. All the lost children, the sisters, would sing that song about praise the Lord, it's so. But it said something in there about the devil had to let me go. Oh, why did he have to? I thought about Brother Kimball one time was telling us about some experiences dealing with someone that had some spirits. And as they dealt with the man, said the devil spoke out, you can't have him. He's mine. But oh, when God comes along and calls his name, he'll have to let him go. Oh, I'm sure all of those devils in Legion thought he was theirs. But when Jesus came walking by, what have we to do with thou, Jesus, thou son of David? All they knew, they had to go. And you find there that when Legion met him there, being out in the tombs, cutting himself up. They tried to chain him up and he broke the chain. But when Jesus came there on the shore, he come. He wanted to be delivered. He came and he bowed down. When the people came, they saw him standing there in his right mind. He'd been delivered. What happened? That the king had come and the captive had been set free. Oh, as we go along in this pathway of life, he's still yet waiting. We might find ourselves battling some things along the way. Lord, I just can't seem to get the victory. What am I to do? You keep right on going. What am I to do? You keep right on holding off. What am I to do? You keep looking for the one who has the keys. Because when he comes by, he's going to unlock the prison door and let you go free. As we go along in this pathway of life, sometimes we find ourselves bound in sin, tied up in all of this stuff that you see nowadays, drugs and alcohol, all these other things that come along the way, and people are looking for some deliverance. Let them know that Jesus came and set the captive free. Oh, there's no doubt about it. You know, there have been times when you might feel like, well, I know they can't help me, but will they help me? Oh, Jesus will. He's ready and he's waiting. And when we go along the way and we're saved, but we still find ourselves hemmed in, keep looking for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Keep looking for that one. I think about it when that brother told me, and I told him, well, you got to look at this a little different. See, you're thinking that Jesus lost that ram. No, he may have let you lose the ram, but it was done with a purpose. You know, to kind of get us separated from ourselves, to kind of show us where we're at along the way, and then to show us how he can deliver us. You know, the songwriter said, if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that he could solve it. I wouldn't know what faith in God could do. Oh, he came to set the captive free. Wherever we find ourselves bound up, he still got the keys. Nobody's going to take them from him anymore. The devil told Brother Kimberlin, that's mine, you can't have him. Oh, he was only his until Jesus came in and put in the key. You and I, as we go along the way, remember, my little girl, she say, that's mine. I just take it on. Sometimes I'll look at her and tell her, now it's mine. Other times I just kind of look at her like, okay, and she'll get quiet because she know Daddy not going to give it back. Jesus is not going to lose the keys. He took them and they are his forevermore. Pray for me.